This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. It's Good Morning NoCo. It's time for news for Northern Colorado, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling. And we are looking at a primary, Brian, in the state across Colorado that 159,925 votes would be a Denver record for a primary from what we saw. Tops 146,401 votes in the 2018 primary. As Kyle went back to, Kyle Clark, who'll join us at 9:05, reviewed records back to 1980. So Denver had the best turnout that we've seen in a primary race ever in the state of Colorado. Denver did in the Malott, Karros, and Diana DeGette run.
Yeah, we were really curious of what turnout would be when we were visiting with Chris Vanderveen on Monday.
Yeah.
I know that was one of the topics that that you had addressed with him, and he was optimistic that there was going to be a large turnout. I personally just, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if the passion was going to be there for primary, if any candidate had that kind of, oh, we got to get out and support guy, you know, but apparently, yes.
Yeah, they certainly did. And that is what we saw last night. And we saw the state go a lot further left than what we've seen. And this was something that I know a lot of people were curious about, was the middle of the road Democrat. We've been seeing this battle, you know, down at the state house between the middle of the road Democrats and the far left. And when you have one party that has as much control as what you know, the Democrats have had in this state for so long, you start to see those fringe, those far left. You see it in Republican states in the exact opposite, right? You see those far right people start to gain a little bit of traction that are going on because, like, listen, we elect politicians, we want our problems to be fixed, we want this stuff, but I think we all still overestimate the true control that one politician can difference that one politician can make. So when you have a party that's in this control for this long, and then you still have Democrats who are upset about, okay, well, we're not going far enough, then you start to see those fringe, you start to see the Socialist Party gaining traction across the country. We saw it with Zohran Mamdani in New York, and now we saw it here in the state of Colorado with Mileto. Her last name's escaping me right now. She's the one who beat Diana DeGette. Mileto Quiros. She didn't just beat Diana DeGette. She thumped Diana DeGette last night, and it's the first socialist that is elected for the Democratic Party. I don't know if there's a Republican challenger in that congressional district, but I'm going to take a wild swing and say that if a socialist just beat a middle of the road Democrat in that district, that there's no prayer's chance in hell for a Republican in that district with as far left as they just went down there.
I'm starting to feel more and more that you know, we've always, many of us have talked about not enjoying a two-party system. I know there are other, you know, fringe things and so forth, but I mean the main two parties. In my feelings, what we're seeing time and time again lately is that those two parties are splitting themselves, and mm-hmm. we're almost turning into four parties. That there's subcategories in the Democrat, subcategories in the Republican. You have the absolute Trump all-in people and those who are still Republican but aren't buying all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of them, and we're not hearing as much from, but I think there's a lot of them out there. Democratically, I think you have the, I remember, you know, Bill Clinton Democrat type of thing, and then you have the much more progressive-aggressive side, which seems to be pushing as well, both different in that party. So I find it kind of hard to define more than ever.
It's interesting because, like, a Bill Clinton Democrat is a Republican today. When you look at those values, not MAGA, because you do. You could almost break it up into four political categories. You could almost do MAGA, you could do Republican, you could do Democrat, and now the Socialist Party is gaining traction in the state of Colorado, excuse me, in this country, which, you know, I'm a capitalist. That's what I believe. I believe in letting the free, you know, market take its place and let it do what it needs to do. There is not a role for the government that needs to step in and do this and this and this and this and this and this for everybody. And so when I see the Socialist Party, and obviously, you know, we've tried a lot of these things in the past, Brian, but this is what happens. You know, 250 years for a country being the world power is a lot of years. It is a lot of years. And now we're talking about some of the divides and stuff like that in this country, and we're seeing it amongst our political parties, where some of those fringe candidates who are running on ideas and platforms that didn't work, and that's why this country was founded, are starting to gain traction. And just from the premise of what I just said, that's a scary thing, because we've had our issues in this country, but the core foundation of it has been really good for 250 years. That constitution that our founding fathers wrote has been a really good, rock solid document that has stood for the most part the test of time. And so when you start to see fringe parties really start to take control over things, that's where I start to worry a little bit. And it is one of those things, and we're seeing it, I think, a little bit in the state of California right now, from a state that has been so blue, so Democratic for so long, that people are starting to say, okay, this clearly wasn't the right answer. Because really, if we're being honest with ourselves, and no elected Republican, no elected Democrat will come out and say it, aside, honestly, from Barb Kirkmeyer that I've heard, that has said that I want to reach across the aisle and I want to work with the other party.
That used to be what we were looking for.
But the best government that we can have is a mix of the two. Both parties have good ideas. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I told you I'm a registered Republican in the state of Colorado. I'm not going to sit here and say that all Democrats are just dumb and have terrible ideas. That would be irresponsible of me, and it would be just quite frankly not true.
But we hear a lot of that
and
crap.
You don't get that from either side, that they can sit there and say, you know what, I want to work with my brothers and sisters on the other side. You don't hear that. And I think what we're starting to see is now in California, that has been one party led for so long, that you're starting to see traction and momentum of, okay, it's starting to go the other way. I just think after what we saw last night, Colorado, because I know there was some hope that maybe Colorado is going to start to swing back more to purple, which is, I think, the perfect place to be for a state, is that purple combo. After last night, we're further blue and further left than we've ever been in the state of Colorado after the election results we saw last night.
Yeah, we've never had a more polarizing leader that carries over to elections that aren't necessarily about him, but somehow gets influenced and lumped in. There's just such a, we're just in a really weird state. I know historically in our 250 years, look, it is littered with disagreements. Mm-hmm. And everything we think is unprecedented isn't.
Right.
You know, you can go back and you will historically find the time period we're in right now has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is look at that history, learn from that history, and, you know, we evolve. We're constantly evolving, and it's constantly changing. This just happens to be where we are right now. Sometimes, you know, an election can go extremely one way or another, and that's what happens then. And then everyone goes, wow, okay, well, that wasn't what we were looking for. And then Next time, maybe, you know, it gets there. So however you feel about something, just breathe. And wait for it to cycle.
In this, the one thing with the Milot Kairos that I'm very curious about. I mean, Diana DeGette held that seat for 29 years.
Yeah, I was surprised by the margins that I had seen.
Milot Kairos wasn't born when Diana DeGette got elected.
Do you think there's some of that anti-age kind of
if
thing?
There is, we need to stop. And this is coming from a guy who firmly believes that both of our last two, three presidents have been too old. They've been too old to be in office. This is a guy that I think that an age cap would be a good thing. We've got an age minimum. I think an age cap would be a good thing. There is something about living life. Like, listen, I'm 29, right? I do not have the experience to be in elected office. I just don't. And I don't think that there's anyone my age or younger that has the experience in just life and in history, because it's different reading history than living history. And so for a somebody who wasn't even born when Diana DeGette won that, to win in a landslide and become just the third individual elected into that district, I do wonder, Brian, if is she going to be the next staple down there, or is this going to be, okay, we wanted something new, and unfortunately, because, I mean, listen, guys, I know here in the city of Greeley, when Tiffany Simmons was running, I know people who didn't like her platform, but liked her stance on Cascadia and said, we can live with it for 2 years. And so I wonder if that does take place. And then in the Republican gubernatorial race, the next batch of votes just dropped her into 89% here. Before this batch came out, Barb Kirkmeyer held a 1,737 vote lead that has now dropped to a 1,356 vote lead ahead of Victor Marx. It is absolutely razor thin. Between, again, what we're seeing is your traditional Republican in Barb Kirkmeyer, who is very much focused on the budget, who's very much focused on the roads, you know, those traditional, how are we using taxpayer dollars? The core thing that I've said for a long time, if Republicans could get back to and say, we're going to keep more money in your pocket, that they would win a lot more races here in the state of Colorado. That's Barb Kirkmeyer. And then you have this newbie into the political realm who makes just incredible claims, gives me the heebie-jeebies, and Victor Marx that is shrinking that. I'll tell you right now, still with that, with Barb's lead shrinking, seeing that Barb has a lead this late into election gives me hope, because Victor Marx and a lot of people out there were saying he's going to be the guy that is going to win the Republican primary, and it's not even close, and it's really close right now. So I'll be very, I hope Barb holds on to win this. I really do hope Barb holds on to win this, because I don't think she beats Phil Weiser coming up in the election, but I think that she can steady the ship of the Republican primary, because, or of the Republican Party, because she's not going to be like Heidi Gnall was against Governor Polis, you know, coming out talking about litter boxes and schools and things like that. Barb's going to focus on the economic issues in the state of Colorado and the point of that we're all being taxed too much, and that's going to be a great message to have heard across the state of Colorado for the Republican Party.
The way we as a public react to things these days makes me think, and this could be out there, but it's what I'm thinking, that if Marx were to win this, he has a better chance of beating Weiser
than Barb.
Yes. Because it appeals to a strong faction who are going to be all in, and they're not going to be swayed.
I
think that his base and what he would have would be one that it reminds me of the presidential election.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, there's some similarities there. But that was just my thought as I've seen the results, because I was surprised by him and then see it growing and growing and growing. I'll be interested to see how it turns out. But that's my thought.
The one reason that I'll disagree with you is because of a point you made actually earlier. Barb's going to pull those middle of the road Democrats more towards her than Victor Marx is.
True.
And the largest quote unquote political party in the state of Colorado is the unaffiliated voter. And so when you start to see, you know, those Bill Clinton Democrats, mm-hmm. when they start to see Milot Kiros and Phil Weiser, who's flirted with the idea of socialism, Barb's got a better shot at pulling them over than Victor does. Because I don't think I can, in good faith, cast a vote for Victor Marx. And I damn sure can't for Phil Weiser. So I will abstain from voting in that election. And I know that that's not what you're supposed to do. But in my heart,
that's what I do when I don't believe in anybody.
I can't. Phil Weiser's far too left for me, and Victor Marx is so far out there for me that I can't do it. Let's see.
It just seems like extremes do well anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's all about the a 5-second soundbite, man. That's what it's about. Travis Anu, guys, you are so spot on. Going from one extreme to the other is this polarizing. It doesn't help anybody or anything. I can't understand it. Because middle of the road is boring.
No, that's exactly, as you were explaining, Barb and so forth, it's, you know, that's comfortable. You're hearing things that it's like, oh, I can deal with that. And that's the least popular thing in the world anymore.
Yeah, correct. And it's
like we crave chaos.
Make politics boring again. MABA. Something like that. That we need to buy. That didn't work at all. But something. You get where I'm getting. I'm trying to go there. Eastside Chris. I saw some coverage last night. Of some of the Kuros coverage. Notice the younger, newer voters are getting very involved. Well, this is good and bad. This is also where I'm saying, hey, it's good that we've got younger people getting motivated to go vote, but younger people don't know the consequences of ideas like socialism. Like, this is why this country was founded, because we didn't have socialism. You know, we didn't have communism. That is why this country has succeeded for 250 years, and that is the alarming thing. That's why I just said it. Like, as a guy who is in that age range, I don't know all of the perils that come along with those ideologies, but I do know from very smart people on both sides of the aisle forever have told us about the perils of socialism and communism. Both sides of the aisle forever have fought against those ideas, and now this young generation is like, yeah, that's kind of bright and shiny, that's kind of attractive, and they don't know the perils of those ideologies.
Yeah, and those young people also have just experienced nearly a decade of really ugly politics.
Yeah.
And if this is the system and so forth, I can see people saying, I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have the history of knowing, you know, what it was like.
Like, and I'm just using this guy because I know his knowledge, or I know a little bit about it. But like, can we get a Reagan that is charismatic, but will also sit there at the state dinner with key Democrats sitting right next to him, laughing with him, and you know, and shooting the breeze like that style of just personality? Because I'm always a policy over person voter, but that is where that would be nice. Just a boring. Charismatic individual, and that'd be nice. But there you go. There we've absolutely blown the clock. We've got to get out of here. We'll get into some of your texts coming in on the other side,
and we'll get into the politics of Reagan in the next. No, we won't.
Kyle Clark will join us at 9:05 and have a big conversation about this as well. You're listening to Good Morning NOCA. At Auto Taylor, there's no deception, no games, no tricks, just a smooth-running car. Online at autotaylor.com or find them on 16th Street and 10th Avenue here in Greeley. That is Auto Taylor. With the miles that I'm getting on my pickup here this week, I'm going to have to go in there at some point next week and get a service done at Auto Taylor. I'm racking up the miles back and forth. I'm tired of seeing Highway 392.
I understand completely. We're going to see it one more time tonight as we head out for the finals.
It's going to be a great time tonight. It is the PRCA Rodeo Finals tonight. Let's make up some time quickly here, and then I will dive back in on the other side. You're listening to Good Morning NOCO.
It's going to be my walk-in song.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna crush Brady.
Yeah, when it comes to the hot dog eating contest Friday, Big City Roadhouse, 1:00. I'll have my walk in music. I'll have my cape.
Yeah,
yeah, it's gonna be electric.
I'll be three beers in.
Yeah, and that's great. But here's the thing: I'm gonna take down Brady.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about Nate Taverner? You gonna beat him?
I'm not talking smack about Nate yet.
Okay, all right.
Yet. All right. Game day.
What about
I will.
Antonio, one of our contestants,
going down.
Okay. What about? You said Brady. What about Craig Freed's guy
totally,
from Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado?
Totally going down.
Okay.
All right, here's the deal. I need somebody bold enough to take this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look, it's Friday. We're all going to be just messing around, waiting on the 4th the next day. 1:00, you come out, you join us at Big City Roadhouse. You eat as many hot dogs as you can in 10 minutes, and if you win, You get free food for a year from Big City Roadhouse. I mean, seriously, guys, this is like my favorite place to eat in town.
Yeah.
You know, I absolutely love their menu. I eat there every week anyway.
Correct.
You know, but I would love to win that, but I would love for you to win that. So here, please, I need a contestant. I need one more, at least, to come and join us. You know, I could take a couple who will come and eat hot dogs with us on Friday, 1 o'clock. You know, hot dogs are on us. We'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you don't have to pay.
Yeah. No, you don't. No entry.
No entry fee. Nothing.
No.
You just show up. You eat, and if you win, free food for a year.
Free
from Big
food
City
for
Roadhouse.
A year. Oh, it's going to be an absolute blast.
So
too.
Get a hold of us.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, text us 888-530-0043.
And I'll destroy you.
888-530-0043. Would love for you to jump into this competition. It's going to be an absolute blast on Friday. Me and the dude down the hall will be broadcasting it on the whole show as this goes on. But it's just going to be a lot of fun out at Big City Roadhouse on Friday. So take an hour. If you can be there at 1, we'll have you out of there by 1:30, probably, like if time is of the essence. But hang out with us for a while on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Going to be a blast. You know, come out and enjoy and come and compete. Text us 888-530-0043. Would love to have one more that I can see get just absolutely brutally embarrassed by Brian Gary in the hot dog eating contest.
It is going to be so much fun. I would love to have you compete. Think it's always been in the back of your head. Oh, that'd be kind of cool to do one of those, or that's disgusting. Either one of those can lure you to the table to give this a try. But seriously, I could use another one. And if you're up for the challenge and want to just have a great time with us Friday, come on, give us a text. Let's do it.
Yeah,
come on.
Let's do it.
Game on.
Get in this car.
Game on.
What's it going to take to get you in this car?
Yeah.
That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
But it's a hot dog eating contest.
Oh, that's wait. Don't act now. We'll throw it. Okay.
Come and join us on Friday. You want in, text us 888-530-0043. We're talking Cowboys today with the PRCA Rodeo Finals coming up. And excited about this. And we'll talk with Robin Farlman about the state of the ag world right now with the cattle market and where it's sitting. And we'll get to some more of your responses throughout the course of the morning. But Robin Farlman from Livestock Exchange joins us on the other side. But first, the KFK News and Sports Center.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
.44 the time. Welcome into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm Tanner Schwint, Brian Gary, my co-host, and we've got Robin Varlman joining us from Livestock Exchange. Robin, we've got the PRCA Pro Rodeo Finals tonight here at the Greeley Stampede, and we're wondering, who's your favorite cowboy of all time?
Oh, my goodness. Favorite cowboy of all time.
We left it open, so it doesn't just have to be Rodeo Cowboy. Brian's answer, Chris Ledoux.
Oh, well, my favorite cowboy is John Wayne, but my Rodeo Cowboy is probably Monte Hawkeye Henson.
There you go.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, we got to get a lot of John Wayne in this morning as well, but love it, Robin. How are you doing on this Wednesday morning?
Absolutely. I have a good question for you this morning.
Oh, boy.
I know. This is a tough one.
Okay.
I just have a question. After announcing the rodeo all week, do you have a new definition between 8 seconds and 16 seconds on a barrel racing? Do you have any new forecast for those moments in your life?
I'm confused by the question, I suppose, Robin. I am confused by the question. I feel like you're leading us down somewhere where we probably shouldn't go.
No, my wife has said I don't qualify for either.
And hell, we'd love to see a 16-second barrel race up here, Robin. The girls are running a little bit slower than that.
I've never put barrels in the house. No, I do have a clown that we can...
Well, you know, I didn't know if you were going to, you know, start taking up some rodeo or the kids were, or, you know, if you have a, you know, that's going to take you 8 seconds, kids. Get that done.
Yeah.
So true.
Robin's was much more innocent than I thought she was leading us to right there.
Yeah, Brian. It's not okay, the way we are. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
She's it's like, a family show.
I'll tell you the one thing after last night, Robin, a little bit of a slower burn on the rodeos so far. We've had a couple, you know, good rough stock events, had some incredible steer wrestling at times, but last night it was a complete rodeo and it was capped off with an 87.5 point ride and in the bull ride, and that's
yes,
why my
damn good
my voice sounds like this this morning. But we've only got one rodeo to go tonight, so excited about that, Robin. But what's going on in the cattle market here on this Wednesday morning?
Absolutely. Well, it's not quite as good on the cattle market this morning. We're still in the 360s, 364 is the close on the overnights. But corn jumped up 7 cents, so that's affecting the cattle market just a tick. But still, all in all, still good. You know, the fats in the 255s and then the feeders in the 364. So we'll see what happens today if they open up and change anything. But yeah, corn took a big jump, so. You know, what goes up must come down, and it affects it, you know, just all the way around. So I don't see any big changes out there. You know, with our talk on the New World Screwworm with Texas having the 20-plus cases now, but so far contained down there. So, yeah, we'll see what happens and plays out. It's, you know, the 4th of July weekend, so things will be just a little bit off.
A lot of beef going to be consumed this weekend, though, Robin, and I know that's always, I mean, there are going to be a lot of hamburgers grilled. We've got a hot dog eating contest that we're going to be doing here at KFKA on Friday, and I'm always nervous to call it beef hot dogs, but I am excited about that. So a lot of people going to be...
Beef-ish.
Beef, yeah, it's, I guess it's technically still portions of the beef, but Robin, what do you got going on at Livestock Exchange this week?
Absolutely. I just have one more question. How come we don't have fish hot dogs?
Ooh, I bet somebody does.
Yeah. Sir,
well, yeah. We're just going to leave that one out there because I'm not so sure I'd want to cook them. But anyway.
That would be so disgusting. Oh, that is one of the worst sounding things I've ever heard of, Robin.
Me too.
Oh, that's horrible.
Fags are really good at Livestock Exchange, let me tell you. We have got another combined sale this week. We're just going to leave that one clear in the back.
Yeah, you're the one who brought it up. I don't know what
fish wieners.
I
get
know,
your fish wiener.
Oh my god! But gentlemen, we are on our combined selling schedule, so things are good. We have all classes of cattle that sell this Thursday, and 9 o'clock weigh cows and bulls. Baby calves, 11:45, pears and breads, 12 o'clock, and this is our Springer special, so it's the first Thursday of the month, so we do have Springers that will sell at noon, and then on to the beef breads and pears and stocker feeders to follow that. So nice sale lined up. We are receiving lots of items for the consignment auction, got some really nice vehicles coming in. We've got some feed trucks, we've got some trailers, we've got lawnmowers, we've got things coming in. So again, that's the 18th of July. Don't wait till the end. All items must be in. It's July 15th on the website.
Robin, you cut out for a second there. When must all items be in?
July 15th. So if you know you're coming, bringing some stuff, let us get it advertised for you. It'll be out on the website. It'll also be on the Cattle USA calendar. The auction will be live, but you will be able to bid online through Cattle USA as well. So make sure you are registered to bid and be a buyer on there as well. And by all means, if they have any questions on anything, do not hesitate to give us a call. And also wanted to let everybody know that we added just so an expansion for our customers. If you need your cattle gathered or worked, or, you know, if you've got a stray that you need found, we have got some help to do that, and if we have a receiving yard in Yuma now, so if you need 1, 2, 10 hauled in, We've got a drop-off place in Yuma if you can't make it all the way up. So lots of things happening out there. We're trying to keep right in front of you for what you need, make your job easier. We know everybody's busy these days. So lots of stuff going on. Everything is on our website at www.livestockexchange.org. And if there's a way that you need some help or something we can do to make your life easier, that's what we're here for.
Fogs. Hot fogs. That's fish hot dogs. That's what we're going with. I've been sitting here thinking about naming on this, Robin. I've been sitting here thinking fogs, and they become hot fogs.
I'm just thinking like the northern pike dog would be all slimy, and there's so many disgusting ways to go with that. And thanks for planting that seed, Robin.
You're welcome. How about a hish?
A hish. Hot dog fish. A hish.
Give me a hish. Yeah, no.
I don't think anybody is sitting at home going, I'm stealing that idea.
No, and you notice, Robin, we have a lot of great ideas here on this program, and we'll trademark when we just sit here spitballing, we're on fire. We'll just go trademark, which we know stands up in court. No one has yelled trademark on this, just so you know.
And I will have you know, now that I think about it, I have had something that's very close to this. I have been out of bread and wanted a fish sandwich and laid fish sticks in a hot dog bun before.
You started it, then, didn't you?
don't I have to quit working with him after that, Robin? Like, I don't know what I do.
I'm not the only one.
That's grounds for divorce.
I think so. And if it wasn't just the eating it's probably what happened afterwards that were grounds for divorce as well, Robin. My goodness gracious, that's disgusting. Robin, have a very happy 4th of July and celebrate America properly. I know you will as we turn 250, but thanks so much for your time, Robin. It's always a blast catching up with you.
Absolutely, gentlemen. Keep the red, white, and blue flying high.
No doubt. Take care, Robin.
There you go. There's Robin Varlman at Livestock Exchange.
How
this morning.
Is that any different than just eating a fish sandwich? Putting fish sticks in a hot dog bun. It's just the shape of the bun.
Effect,
okay,
Brian,
it's
comedy.
Not like I threw relish and mustard on the fish.
Okay, that's good. Because I guess
ketchup,
in my brain,
yes.
Oh
yeah, you got to have ketchup.
Stop
on fish sticks.
Stop dipping your fish in ketchup.
It's breaded.
You're not 12 years old.
Oh, I don't need to be to enjoy fish and ketchup. If it's fried,
you don't.
Absolutely,
need to
I dip it in ketchup. If it's grilled, I like lemon.
What?
Grilled
so if you
fish?
Get fish and chips at a restaurant.
Yes.
What do you dip it in?
Ketchup.
No lemon then?
No.
You're an interesting creature.
Yes.
And this is like this is the role reversal. Right? Like, this is coming from the dumb redneck who's only eaten beef his entire life and just got introduced to fish when he moved to Fort Collins for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the one who's putting ketchup on fish sticks.
Yes.
Use a tartar sauce.
No. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, my God. Put a little lemon on it. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. That actually just made me hungry.
I could go for some fish sticks and a hot dog bun.
If you're shopping for a new car but don't know where to start, you're financing your answers, Weld Community Credit Union. From application to approval, they make the process stress-free. Stop by their location at 2555 47th Avenue, online at weldccu.com. They ended up raising over $2,000 for the Weld Food Bank as well.
Wonderful.
Weld Community Credit Union. So awesome work by them. What is seafood sauce? Tartar sauce?
Cocktail sauce.
Cocktail sauce?
That's what you use for shrimp cocktail. I don't know where we're heading.
Going? 7:54 the time now. Let's get to the Daybreak Ag Report. All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, in about 7 minutes from now, approximately, we'll be visiting with Will Rasmussen, the public address announcer at the Greeley Stampede.
Yeah.
I know I asked him last year about that prayer that he does before everyone, but it is just so powerful. He's the best in the business, folks, and we've got him and PRCA Pro Rodeo Finals coming up tonight. We're also going to give a shot at your shot at two Finals Rodeo tickets. in the 8 o'clock hour as well. I can't wait for this conversation with Will, Brian. It's going to be just excellent.
Always love visiting with him. Just like hearing his voice on our airwaves, too.
Correct.
Yeah,
I really do.
Correct. And then Kyle Clark's going to join us at 9:05 this morning as well. It's Good Morning NoCo, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.